Will you please turn to Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having marked us out beforehand for sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, we'll read verse 14 through verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For ye have not received a spirit of bondage again for fear, but ye have received a spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and Christ joint heirs, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we gathered here this morning, our hearts do bow low before thee, worshiping thee, thanking thee, praising thee, because of thy great love towards us, what thou hast done for us. So wonderful, so glorious, so complete, so lasting. Oh Lord, what can we say before such love? We only pray, Lord, that our love will constrain us, that we will not in any way fail thee, but by thy grace we may arrive at that which thou art after. And it is all for thy praise and glory. We commit this time into thy loving hands, trusting thy Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to lead us into the truth. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. I think it is not necessary for me to remind you again what our theme is: spiritual sonship. And I believe that you must have remembered the text for that theme. I thank the Lord that this matter of spiritual sonship is not a small thing, because even before the world began, God is pleased in his heart for such a thing. It pleases him It is something that he wants. It is something that gave him pleasure. And he has marked us out. We who are believers in him, sanctified in him, and faithful to him. What does he want in us? He wants us to receive sonship. This is what he wants to give to us. And if we shall fail him, we shall fail to reach at sonship. How he must have hurt his heart. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is something important. We have to take it to heart. Not for our own sake. As a matter of fact, whether we fail or we succeed is nothing. But it is a matter with God, with his heart, with his pleasure. And it is something that we should be very, very serious about it. Now, we have mentioned before, what is sonship? Sonship is the placing of the son. In other words, when a child is born, he is an heir. And yet when he was a child, he is under guardianship and stewardship. He is no different than a bond slave, because he cannot make any decision on his own. A dependent. He need to be trained, instructed, disciplined. He need to grow up. And as he grows up, the father is watching all the time. The father is watching whether that child has grown up, has arrived certain maturity that he can share with the father responsibility and also to enjoy the privilege. He will be almost like a second self to him. And this is the day that the father is looking forward to. Now, what if the child never grew up? He may grow up in age, but he does not grow up in character. And how he will disappoint the father. Now, if this is true in the whole human world, how much true it is in the spiritual world. So, dear brothers and sisters, I do feel that it is not just your matter or my matter. Our matter doesn't count. But it is a matter with our Heavenly Father. It is a matter with our Lord Jesus. His tremendous love for us, his great price paid for us, and it is all for that one thing, that the day will arrive that the Father can please us in the place of saints. Sin and sonship are closely related. You cannot separate these two things, but they can be distinguished, and they should be distinguished. Sin relates to life. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are born from above. You know, it is a strange thing. In the Bible, in some translation, you find the word sonship is translated adoption. I was asked by one brother yesterday, are we really adopted? Are we? In one sense, we are. You know, in human adoption, usually when you think about adoption, you adopt someone who is not born to the family, who doesn't have the same life, but he is being adopted. In other words, he'll go through a legal transaction and he's made a child, a son of the family. That's adoption. Now, in one sense, we are adopted because God is God and we are human beings. And yet this adoption is very strange, because in adopting us, he gave us his life to us. So probably the better translation would be sonship and not adoption. We are grateful to be adopted by God. And we are doubly grateful because this adoption is not earthly adoption. It is heavenly adoption. He gave us his own life. We are his born children. And how he expects us to really grow up into sons and daughters. And we can share responsibility and privilege with him together. So, sonship is the placing of the son. Now, we mention also, when you talk about sonship, what does it include? Is there anything that we can describe this sonship? We mention three things. Number one, it is glory. Not only we will be transformed and conformed to the image of God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only we will be justified, and not only justified and sanctified, but even glorified, taking up the character of our Lord Jesus. But one day, we will enter into glory. He will lead us into glory. We may see his glory, and we may even share in his glory. Number two, inheritance. He has prepared an inheritance for his sons. It is unfading, incorruptible, forever, pure, undefiled, reserved for us who are kept by his grace. And that refers to the kingdom, that we shall have a place in his own kingdom. And number three, reigning. He that endures, he that continues on to the end, following him to the very end, he shall reign with Christ. And that is sonship. Now this morning, we would like to share together on this matter of the way to sonship. Now, knowing what sonship is, of course we want to know the way. How can we really receive sonship? Sonship is something given to us according to Galatians chapter 4. Our Lord Jesus, in the fullness of time, he came into this world, came of woman, came under the law, that he may redeem us out of sin, that we may receive sonship. Now, how are we going to receive it? Again, we say the principles that govern sons and the principle govern sonships are the same, because one leads to the other. Now, when you think of this matter of how do we reach to be sons of God, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we become the children of God. As many as believe in him, that receive him, they shall have the right to be the children of God, because they are not born of man, not of the blood, not of man's flesh, not of your own flesh, but born of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, we who believe in the Lord Jesus, he who has the Son has life. We have the life of Christ in us. And this life is the life of the Son. This Christ in us is a perfect Christ. It is not a little bit of Christ. In experiencing him, that's true, we experience him more and more. And yet, when he comes into our life, when he becomes our life, that life is the life of the Son. It is perfect. It has already arrived. And the Spirit of God that is given to us is the Spirit of the Son. It is the Spirit of sonship. In other words, because it is the Spirit of the Son, therefore there is a longing, a desire, an urge to go on unto sonship. But still, we are babes in Christ when we are first born again. Now, brothers and sisters, just think back. After you are saved, how do you grow in the Lord? How do you grow out of babyhood and grow into young man? How do you grow out of young man and grow into the fathers, as it were, in a family of God. Now, how do you grow? I remember I have a little sister. And one day, my little sister, when she was very little, she and my cousin, also about the same age, and they were sitting on the stairway talking. And somebody overheard it. You know what they are talking? They were complaining. We are so young. Look at our brothers and sisters, older. They have certain privilege we do not have. And they are longing to grow up. They may have the same privilege, but don't forget the same responsibility. Now, brothers and sisters, are we like them? Are we to be contented? Just continue to be babies, to be cared for? No care? No responsibility? But no privilege, too. Are we willing to do that? Now, how do we grow? You know, as we grow in life, it is actually, there are two parts in it. Now, why is it? Because there are two parties playing together. There is God, and there is you and me. And these two parties are involved. So far as God is concerned, remember, He has already done it. He has already completed it. But so far as our part is concerned, we need to enter gradually and increasingly into it. So that is why we say there is the objective truth. That is what God has done. What He has done in Christ Jesus. That is done once and for all. And it is completed already. And that is the reason why God can give sonship to us. Because it is completed. But there is a subjective part, our experiential part. And this is something that we have to enter gradually into it. And these two parts have to come together. Now, so far as objective truth is concerned, so far as God's part is concerned, it is finished. You remember our Lord Jesus? When He died on the cross, before He gave up His spirit, He said, "It is finished." The work that He has come to do has been done, finished. The Father proposes it. The Son prepares it. So everything is done. There is nothing you can add to it. And all you can do is believe and receive. It is all grace. You cannot do anything more. Now that is on God's part. Now on our part, we need to gradually see what God has given to us and gradually enter into it. And these two parts had to come together. Thanks be unto God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily, and you are complete in Him. In other words, when God gave His beloved Son to us, everything that is of God is there. And when you receive the Son, every blessing is already there. You cannot ask God to give you something more. If you do, God said, I have nothing more to give. I have given my all to you. It is done. But on our part, we find that not only we need to know more about what He has done for us, but also to see how much obstacles, hindrances, things that are not of God is in us. And these things has to be dealt with. These things had to be get rid of before we can really enter into that fullness. It is just like the children of Israel. God has already promised them the land. And as God promised, it is as if already done. So far as God is concerned, it's done. But so far as the children of Israel is concerned, they have to put their feet down, and step by step, they have to conquer all their enemies and claim what God has given them as their own. And so, brothers and sisters, this is what it is. Again, we say, the life that is given to us is the life of the Son. It is all there. But we need to grow into it. And as we grow into it, now how does it work? We thank God. Because what God has proposed, what Christ has prepared for us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Son, the Spirit of Sonship is now in us. And He is there to reveal what God has already done for us. Not to be done, but already done. Already given. What God has already done and already given to us. He will reveal all these things to us. And not only reveal it, but He will bring us into all truth. So, dear brothers and sisters, we thank God that the Spirit of God is in us. The Spirit of the Son is in us. The Spirit of Sonship in us. And we thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit. Two sides. The work of the Holy Spirit in us is of twofold. Number one, the revelation, the revealing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells within us, He will reveal Christ to us. That is His work. He will reveal Christ to us in an increasing manner. so that we may really know him. And number two, the discipline of the Holy Spirit. He will arrange our circumstances. Everything that we encounter in our daily life. Dear brothers and sisters, to us believers, there is no such thing as by chance. Because our Heavenly Father has arranged everything for us. The Holy Spirit is in charge of that. He will arrange our circumstances, our daily happenings, the people we will meet, the people we will be together, the things that happen to us in our daily life, in our home, in our work, in the society, in the church, everywhere. The Holy Spirit, He will discipline us. He will arrange our circumstances. And through these circumstances, He is trying to get rid of all the obstacles in our lives that keep us from growing into sonship. And He will add Christ increasingly into our. So, brothers and sisters, by these two work of the Holy Spirit, it will help us to grow from babyhood to young people to the fathers. Now, that is the part of the Holy Spirit. But what is our part? Our part is to trust and obey. In other words, we cannot do anything. We can be a hindrance, but we cannot be a help to the Holy Spirit. So that hindrance had to be set aside. When the Holy Spirit began to reveal Christ to us, when He began to arrange an environment for us, we began to learn our lessons. That is the way that we learn. And by the grace of God, if we can trust and obey, believing in Him, obeying Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to take away what stands in the way and bringing Christ to us, then so, dear brothers and sisters, these are the principles in growing. And the same principle applies to sonship. So let us turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. We'll read from verse 3. Verses 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things we relate to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us by glory and virtue, through which He has given to us the greatest and precious promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now here you find God's part, what He has done for us. His divine power has given to us. In other words, it's already given. His divine power has given to us all things that relates to life and godliness. In other words, we need life, and life is given. And that life is the life of the Son. We need godliness. That is, we need to be like Him. We need to grow up. And all things that regards to godliness has been given. Not only the life is given, the way to grow into sons and sonship is already there. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us by glory and virtue. God called us by His glory and by His own virtue. And we can enter into that knowledge. He has given us the greatest and precious promises. So all the promises are there. And by these promises, we can become partakers of His divine nature. In other words, everything that we need for sonship has been given. Life has been given. Godliness has been given through His promises, by the knowledge of Him. He has called us by glory and virtue. That's God's part. But then you find our parts from verse 5 on. But for this very reason also. Now, because God has done it, God has given it, God has provided it. Now, what should we do? For this very reason, using therewith all diligence. Now, that is what we need to do. In other words, we cannot be complacent. We cannot lay back, lazy, idle, unfruitful. Since God has done all things to us that ought to inspire us to use all diligence to apply ourselves in faith, have also virtue. Not only just believe, but this faith is turned into virtue, character, that we begin to take up the character of our Lord. And in virtue, knowledge. In life, in character, we begin to know Him even more. You know, sometimes our knowledge of God is mental. It may be correct, but it's not living. But when you know God, when you know Christ in character, that is to say, you begin to have the same nature, you begin to say have the same character, then you know Him much more. And it is a living knowledge. And in knowledge, temperance, self-control. Self-control actually is spirit control. You are being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And in temperance, endurance. Then you can endure. You can endure the cross. And in endurance, godliness. Then you will be like God. And in godliness, brotherly love. You know, brotherly love is not cheap. Not everyone has brotherly love. You have to add and add and add until that brotherly love comes out from you. And from brotherly love, love. For these things existed abounding in you, make you to be neither idle nor unfruitful as regard the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus. For he with whom these things are not present, is blind, short-sighted, forgotten, the purging of his former sins. Dear brothers and sisters, this is our responsibility. This is our part that we have to cooperate. And in doing that, Wherefore, be ready, brethren, use diligence to make your calling a election sure. God has called us. Now we have the responsibility to make our calling an election sure. He has elected us. He has marked us out beforehand for sonship. And now we have to make it sure. For doing these things, you will never fall. For thus shall the entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be richly furnished unto you. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is the way to sonship. God has done his part. How about we? It is not something that because God has done it, therefore we don't need to play our part. Be idle and unfruitful. No. It is because God has done it. That should be the incentive in us. By his grace, we shall prevail. We will forget the things behind and press on towards the goal. To me, I think the best example, now we have been using different examples to show this matter of sonship. But to me, I think the best example is our Lord himself. Because in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make perfect the leader of their salvation through suffering. You know, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus is not only our Savior, he is also our leader. He is our Savior. What does it mean? It means that he saves us. He does everything for us. We are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Our Lord Jesus is our Savior. A full Savior. He saved us to the uttermost. He saved us even to sonship. He has done it all for us. But remember, our Lord Jesus is not only our Savior, he is also our leader. Now, in some translation, it is said he is our originator, or he is our causer, the one who causes us. He is leading the way. He opens the way. And he calls us to follow him. And in following him, he has made every provision for us that we may be able to follow him. Even that is grace. So, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus is the leader that leads us into glory. He has gone that way before us. He has opened up a new and living way for us. And that is the only way that you can enter into glory. So, let us see how our Lord Jesus leads the way that we may follow. I mentioned yesterday, our Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He and the Father are eternally one. And his sonship is never questioned. He does not need to grow into sonship. He is already there. He is placed on that equality with God. And is nothing to be grasped at. That's where he is. Now, if he should remain in his glory, what will happen to us? We have no way. So the only way that he can lead us into glory, he has to come into this world. And that is what Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. Brothers and sisters, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus is a great mystery. We can never fathom the whole mystery of it. But it is a tremendous thing. Because in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 it said, who, that is Christ Jesus, subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it as an object of repine to be on an equality with God. That is what our Lord Jesus is. He subsists. That is to say, that is what he originally is. In what form? The form there is not the external form. The form there in the original is the inward essence. The reality. The nature. The very image. You find that our Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He has the exact image of God. He has the same character as God, the same nature of God, the same essence as God. What God is, that's what he is. He is equal with God, one with God. He is the eternal Son. He has eternal sonship. Never need to grasp it. It is originally, eternally his. Now that's where our Lord is. But in order to bring many sons into glory, what did he do? He emptied himself. So brothers and sisters, that is the beginning. He emptied himself. He poured out himself. Of course, he cannot empty himself of his deity, because that's what he is. But he emptied himself of all the glory and honor and place as son. He emptied himself of all these in order that he may come into this world to be a man. You know, it is not easy for God to become a man. The Creator to be a man. He has to empty himself . And when he come to be a man, what form does he take? Yes, outwardly he takes the fashion of a man. He looks like a man. He is a man. He is a perfect man. He has everything that a human being has. A spirit, a soul, a body. Even though that spirit, that soul and body is perfect, undefiled, sinless, born of the Spirit, and yet outwardly he's perfectly a man. He has his own thought, he has his own will, he has his own emotion, everything like us. But that is only an outward fashion. What is his inward feeling? What is his mind? His mind is the form of a bond slave. From the form of God, he took up the form of a bond slave. In other words, he condescended himself to be a man. And as a man, he became a bond slave to God. Instead of striving to be equal with God, he is willing to come under God. That is where man's position is. So when our Lord Jesus was on earth, that is his mind. And brothers and sisters, if we want to arrive at sonship, what is the first step that we should take? Now we are not so full, so rich as our Lord, because all the fullness of Godhead dwells in him. All the glory and honor belong to him. So he has a lot to empty. And we have, what do we have to empty? We have to empty our sin. We have to empty our pride. We have to empty ourself. All these things that will hinder his purpose. So, brothers and sisters, the first thing to start with is we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to understand that we, as human beings, we are not our own master. God created us to be his bond slave, to do his bidding, to do his will. Just like when God, when the Lord revealed himself to Saul, the Pharisee. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the cord, because you are just an ox pulling a load, my will. But you want to have your own will. So you need to be touched with the God to show you who is the master. Brothers and sisters, we as human beings, created by God, we are to be servants, bond servants of God. That should be our mind. And that is the first thing to start with. And then we find our Lord Jesus, being a man, he grew up from babyhood. Until he was 30 years old. We know very little about that period. Only in Luke chapter 2, we have three records there. One is said our Lord Jesus grew in strength, physically, in wisdom, solically, psychologically, and in the pleasure of God, spiritually. Then when he was 12 years old, as a Jew, he was made the son of the law. And sure enough, you remember the story, how he remained in Jerusalem, his parents tried to find him and worried about him, and he said, why do you do this? I'm a son of the law. I have to be occupied with my father's business. In other words, from the day that he was made the son of the law, he is occupied with the Father's business. Not his own business, but because he's still a minor. So he has to learn his Father's business under his parents' control. He obeyed his parents. He lived 30 hidden years. We do not know what happened. We only know again that how he grew in wisdom and in stature and the love of man and God in him. But when he was 30 years old, he came to be baptized of John. Now all these hidden years of preparation, growing before God, learning to be obedient to his parents, learning a trade, learning to be a member in the family, a member in the society, a member even in the synagogue, learning. Submitting himself to God, submitting himself to those over him. And what he has learned. Brothers and sisters, we need that too. In order to grow, we need to have a heart to be occupied with the Father's business. Now, do you have such a heart? It is a sign of growing. Are you occupied only with yourself? With your own interest? Now, usually when we begin to grow, say, even unto the mature age, what are we occupied with? We are occupied with ourselves. With our own future. We are not occupied with the Father's business. That should be our heart desire. And even so, we cannot really enter into public service. And yet, we should have that heart and learn obedience. Have fellowship with the Father in secret. Knowing the Father more and more. And when he was 30 years old, he was baptized with the baptism of John. You know, he has nothing to repent of. John sees his perfection and said, no, you should not be baptized. I will be baptized by you. But the Lord said, let's do it for righteousness' sake. This is the way of God for the time being. And you remember when he was baptized? What happened? Heavens opened. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Now, isn't that sonship? Recognition. Recognition that he has grown to be son. He is now being able to take up responsibility. He is given the privilege of serving God. And then you find for 3 years how he traveled all around preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons, proclaiming the kingdom is coming. And during those 3 years, he worked the work of God. In John chapter 5, he said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. I work the work of the Father. In John chapter 8, he said, what I see my Father does, I do it. I do nothing out of myself. I do everything pleasing in his 3 years of public life, he does the Father's will. It is the fulfillment of Psalm 40. Not sacrifice, not offerings, but to do the Father's will. Dear brothers and sisters, when we are serving, are we doing the Father's will? Or are we just doing what we like to do? What pleases us? What will bring glory to ourselves? But here you find our Lord Jesus being obedient to the Father. During that 3 years, he lived a perfect life. And then you find in Matthew 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, again, the heavens open. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. You know, during his 3 years of public life, he lived such a perfect life. He did such a perfect work, serving the Father's will. Never once he did his own will, go his own way. He was ready to return to the Father. He has demonstrated to the world the Father. He has declared the Father. He has demonstrated to the world what man ought to be. The man that God has created ought to be. And he's ready to return for his exit out of this world. But he refused for our sake. Recognition, sonship. He's growing into sonship. The Father really can commit all to him. He was obedient even unto death, and that death of the cross. The last half a year, he was with his own disciples. But his face is towards Jerusalem. When some Greek want to see him, as if the whole world will go after him because he raised Lazarus from the dead. Many believe in him. He said, my glory, the day of my glory is come. Unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if die, it bears much fruit. He that comes to me, follow me. Deny himself. He who loves his life shall lose it. He who loses his life shall gain it. And he said, Father, deliver me from this hour, the cross. But I come from that time. Glorify thyself. And a voice came. I have glorified myself, and I will yet glorify. Brothers and sisters, another recognition of sonship. You are truly my son. You have that place. You do what I want to do. You accomplish my heart desire, even unto death. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the way to sonship. And finally, after 3 days in the grave, he was raised from the dead. After 40 days appearing, ascended to heaven. And in Philippians chapter 2 it said, the Father has exalted him above all things, giving him a name that is above every name. And to that name, Jesus, every knee shall bow. Everything confess that Jesus is Lord. In other words, he has arrived at that sonship. And this is the glory that he will share with us. This is a sonship that he has given to us. This is bringing us into glory. So, dear brothers and sisters, what should we do? We should thank God for what he has done for us in his beloved Son. And not just thank him, but follow him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thou hast called us. Thou hast elected us. In love, in pray that we may not fail thee, that we may believe, put our faith in thee, not in ourselves, that we may obey thee and follow thee all the way, and let thee lead us into glory, that the Father's heart